Why is a watchdog smaller in the daytime?
Because he's let out at night.
Correct. Pay that man $7. What would you call a person who is afraid of water?
Dirty.
Dirty. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. Once again, the makers of WOR and Mutual present their special educational feature, It Pays to Be Ignorant, presided over by that famous scholar, historian, and panhandler, a member of the team of Howard and Shelton, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Bruce Elliott, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are with that quiz program which makes everybody connected with it look silly. With a board of experts who are so dumb, they think an atomizer is a person who hoards atoms. There are many things I really enjoy doing, but instead I find myself faced with the gruesome task of introducing these three morons to you. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a condensed version of the book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, entitled Kerplunk. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton. Mr. McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I see.
I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. It makes the peas taste funny, but it keeps them on my knife.
Oh, yeah.
It's the new non-skid method, you know, of eating peas.
All right, Mr. McNaughton.
They always slip into my lap somehow.
Now, let's not bother with it.
It's called a method.
You've never heard of an instrument called the fork, did you? Let's get on with the program. Next, we have a woman who is so big, she uses the corporation form to pay her income tax. A woman whose face looks as if she'd been on a sightseeing tour through a meat grinder, Miss Lulu McConnell. Miss McConnell, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope it gets you on time tonight, Mr. Howard.
Uh-huh.
I have an appointment to see my doctor.
Oh, you're not feeling well?
Well, you remember a year ago when I had rheumatism so bad?
Yeah.
Well, this doctor cured me.
I see. So your rheumatism is back again?
Oh, no, no.
No,
no, but he told me to keep away from the dampness.
I see.
So I want to find out if it's all right to take a bath.
After
taking
a bath.
My word.
After a year. I see. All right, let's get on. Next, we have a man who takes a ruler to bed with him so he can see how long he sleeps. A man who telephones the fire department when his house gets cold, Mr. George Shelton. Mr. Shelton,
you know, Mr. Howard, I think I got cheated out of 2 bits today.
How did that happen?
Well, I bought a tube of shaving cream, you know, that brushless stuff, and it says right on the tube, no mug required.
Well, what's wrong with that? No mug required.
Well, what am I supposed to shave?
What? Oh.
Don't think of buying the dog.
All right. No. Mr. Shelton, when you are shaving yourself, do you ever cut your throat?
No.
Isn't it a temptation?
You know what it is.
Try it sometime. Well, there they are, folks. If you're waiting for the program to improve, you don't know us. Our first question tonight comes from Mr. Paul Douglas of New York City. Now, here it is. What is a bread knife used for? No help, please, from the audience. Did you hear the question, Mr. Shelton?
Every word of it, Miss Howard, every word of it.
What do you think of it?
I think it's a very keen question.
A very keen question.
You asked me, that was a very sharp remark.
All right, all right.
Well, I'm all on edge tonight.
Oh, you're all on edge. Please. Never mind the pun. What is a bread knife used for? You want to know the answer, Miss McConnell?
I should, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should.
Well, I don't.
Well, you don't. You don't know what a bread knife is used for?
We never use bread in our house.
You never use bread?
No, we use nothing but toast.
Oh, I see. That's marvelous. Miss McConnell, if I had your head, I'd turn it over to the scrap drive. What is a bread knife used for? Let me give you a clue. The answer I want is something made from dough. Do you know what dough is, Mr. Shelton?
Sure, dough is something that everybody needs. It attracts a lot of half-baked friends, and when you have enough of it, you belong to the upper crust. And when you're broke, you're just a loafer.
All right. That is not the answer I want. Miss McNaughton, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not. If you don't know what you're talking about, I don't see how you expect me to know.
But wait a minute. I happen to know what I'm talking about.
Then you answer the question.
Mr. McNaughton, please. How is it you never derive any benefit from these questions?
Well, you see, Mr. Howard, I have no driver's license.
You have no...
You know, my girl has taken driver's lessons.
Oh, really? How's she making out?
Not so good. You see, when the road turns the same time she does, it's just a coincidence.
My old man and me were driving along in our car the other day. We came to the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
The man said 50 cents, and my old man said so.
Miss McConnell, have you no scruples?
Oh, no. I was vaccinated when I was a little girl.
I see.
Oh, Miss McConnell, you vaccinate me.
Never mind, please. Miss McConnell, when you were a little girl, they hadn't discovered vaccination.
Well, the doctor stuck something in my arm.
I see. Must have been a phonograph needle.
What do you mean?
Well, the record speaks for itself.
The record speaks for itself. Look, please. I still haven't found out what a bread knife is used for. Miss McNaughton, does your wife have a bread knife?
Oh, rather, yes, Mr. Howard. She has a beautiful bread knife.
Well, what does she use it for?
To chase me out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
You mean your wife hits you with a bread knife?
Oh, no. She never hits me with it. She just throws it at me.
Throws a bread knife at you? For what reason? What's her aim?
Sometimes it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a dartboard.
Do any of you know what a knife is?
Oh, sure. I know what a knife is, Mr. Howard.
Good. What do you use a knife for?
Heat my mashed potatoes with.
I see. Don't you use a fork?
Sure.
What do you use the fork for?
To pick my teeth.
To pick your teeth.
Did you ever read Emily's Post?
Never mind Emily Post. I think that's enough. Suppose we send Mr. Douglas $4.04 for his question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard. I slice off $4.04 and send the dough to Mr. Paul Douglas.
I see. You're using punch, too. Tell him the bread knife is used to cut bread with. Thank you. Would somebody get that organ player out of here or throw him a fish or something, will you? How anybody can you abuse a beautiful Hammond organ like that is beyond me. Well, here is the next question.
Well, I'll get it. Get some over here.
Now, who's ringing the phone?
Hello? Hello? What is the correct time? Just a moment, please. Just a moment. It's now, the correct time is 20 minutes to 8. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, what's that all about? Who was that?
The Boulevard Watch Company.
I see. Okay, please. The Boulevard Watch Company. Ain't this awful? Here is the next question sent in by Mrs. Walter Sharples of East Arlington, Massachusetts. Here's the question. What time of year is best for winter sports?
Oh, my word, I say that's a very good question, isn't it?
Yes, it is a very good question.
I can hardly wait till I hear the answer.
I see. Miss McNaughton, I expect you to find the answer.
Why, have you lost it?
No, I haven't drawn it.
Maybe you hid it.
I didn't hide it.
But it must be around someplace.
Please.
Miss McConnell, are you sitting on it?
No, what is that?
Oh, sit down.
Will you please sit down? Sit down. Can't you stop this?
Oh, I always listen to that program.
What program?
Can you stop this?
Please. I'm not talking about a radio program. I have a question here. What time of year is best for winter sports?
Well, Mr. Howard, what particular sport did you have in mind?
Any sport. Ice skating, hockey, ski.
Oh, I played hockey, Mr. Howard.
Fine. Now, what time of year did you play hockey?
Any time, but mostly in the spring.
You didn't play hockey in the spring.
You know, that's what I try to tell my school teacher when she caught up with me.
Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about hockey, not hooking.
Oh.
Please, what time of year is best for winter sports?
You know, speaking of winter sports, I love ice skating. Yesterday, I skated for hours on end.
Was it painful?
No, I always carry a pillow with me.
You know, I saw the ice show at Madison Square Garden. Boy, could they skate. One girl skated with one foot up in the air.
So what? When I skate, I have 2 feet in the air.
Beautiful sight.
Beautiful sight. Will you come on in, please? Yes, sir. Cut it out, please.
You know, I was over at the ice rink at Radio City the other day practicing. I tried for 2 hours to make a fancy figure.
Oh, what happened?
She slapped my face.
Oh, I see. Mr. Shelburne, do you like to skate?
Oh, yeah, but the last time I skated, I took an awful fall.
Did the people laugh?
No, but the ice made some funny cracks.
Mr. Shelburne, a half-wit must have given you a piece of his mind.
Yeah, and you're not going to get it back either.
All right.
Very good.
Mr. Connell, do you know anything about winter sports?
No. In my day, the ladies didn't go in for winter sports.
Uh-huh.
The girls of the day are muscle-bound.
Yeah, and the girls in your day were bustle-bound.
Another crack like that, and I'm liable to throw you a dirty look.
Well, you better keep it on you. It looks good. The question is still unanswered. What season of the year is best for winter sports?
You know, I took a trip up to the mountains last week to do a little skiing. But after the first hour, I gave it up.
No ambition?
No snow.
No snow.
I remember the first and the last time I went skiing. You know, I took one of those big jumps like... Well, when I landed, one ski went one way and the other ski went the other way. I thought I'd split.
You know.
Well, of course, that's you all over.
Yeah, that's you all over.
You know, personally, I like tobogganing. You like tobogganing, Miss McConnell?
Oh, sure. You get things cheaper that way.
You get things cheaper. Mr. Elliott, please, let's get out of this thing. Suppose you send Mrs. Sharple $7.77 for her question.
Right, Mr. Howard. $7.77 to Mrs. Walter Sharple's with best wishes from all of us.
The answer, of course, is winter. That guy a union card ought to go out and shoot himself. I wonder what that was called.
Oh, that was Schubert's Unfinished Symphony.
Oh, it was. Well, if it sounded like that, I don't blame him for not finishing it. Well, folks, that brings us up to the part of the program where we ask the studio audience to take part. We have invited two members up here on the stage. They can ask the experts a question. If they get the correct answer, we give them the deed to Fort Knox. If they stump the experts, we always manage and scrape up a few pennies for them. So who is our first contestant, Mr. Elliott?
Mr. Howard, I'd like you to meet Corporal Gene Glick of the Army.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Glick? How do you do, Corporal Glick? We're very glad to have you with us. Would you mind telling us just a little about yourself, such as where is your hometown, please?
Plainfield, New Jersey.
Oh, Plainfield, New Jersey.
Well, taste me in the mouth and call me toothbrush.
Yes, yes.
You know, I used to work in that town. Yeah, it's an umpire in a union.
In a union?
Umpire for a labor union?
Yeah, I used to call strikes.
You used to... I ain't getting away.
You know, Corporal Glick, I was in the Army in the last war, yes, but I didn't stay.
You didn't stay? Didn't like the hours, I guess.
No, that wasn't it. You see, they cut my salary after I'd been in just a few days.
They cut your salary? What for?
Well, I was late for breakfast one morning, so the sergeant told me I'd be confined two quarters for 2 weeks. I know, I'm naughty tonight. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, how can a person live on two quarters?
No, that isn't very much money, well, mister.
Of course, I would have settled for a couple of bucks.
Oh, yeah, all right. Please, let's get on here. Corporal, don't let these three dead batteries shock you here. What? Would you mind telling us just what you did before you entered the service?
I was played in the band.
Oh, you're a musician, isn't that? What instrument did you play?
Drums.
Oh, the drums. Uh-huh.
Play the drums. Can you beat that?
Yeah, he played the drums.
You know, Corporal, I play a musical instrument. You know that, Mr. Hart?
I didn't know it.
I play the trombone, clarinet, flute, piccolo, and trombone.
Yes. Have you got a zither?
Oh, I've got a zither and a feather.
You got a zither. All right, please.
I got a lot of musical instruments, too.
Oh, you got a lot of music.
I got a drum and a pipe. And
yeah?
And all that.
Oh, I see. You got a pipe.
Yeah, I got a pipe and three kids.
You got a pipe. I know you ruined it, but let it go. We're very glad, Corporal, to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, what's your first name, honey?
James.
What?
James.
James, isn't that right?
Yeah,
James. He's a cute lady, huh?
Yeah,
well, okay, you can just call me Bubbles. I'm so light and airy.
Yeah. And you're just about the same shape.
There you go.
Sit down. Corporal, would you mind reaching into the dunce cap there and picking out a question for us? And would you mind reading it? That is, just read the question. Just read it. Help me, Mr.
Who is the principal character in the opera Carmen?
I see. Who is the principal character in the opera Carmen? Now, there's a question on music for you. You like music, don't you, Miss McConnell?
Oh, yes, I'm very musical.
Yeah.
Did you know that I had a chance to sing in The Voice of the Turtle?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Voice of the Turtle.
I think that's very interesting, you know. What part were you going to play, Miss McConnell?
The Turtle.
Oh. Well, I'd say that's very good casting.
Yeah,
you
know. Nice.
Turtle, that's a frog in an armored car, isn't it? They use their necks for sweaters.
You got it.
Oh, turtleneck sweaters.
All right.
Can't pull the wool over his eyes.
No. The question is about Carmen. Did you ever see Carmen, Mr. McNaughton?
Oh, did I? Rather, yes. Wonderful production. Wonderful production.
Oh, I'm glad you saw it. Then perhaps you can name the leading character in it.
Now, let me see. Leading character. Don't tell me.
Oh, no, I won't.
Don't rush me now. It was a girl.
That's right.
Now, what was her name?
Let me give you a hint. The principal characters in Romeo and Juliet were Romeo and Juliet. Now, what is the principal character in Carmen?
I think you're wrong there, Mr. Hart. If I remember correctly, there's no Romeo and Juliet in Carmen.
I didn't say there was.
Sounds to me like you said Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. No, please.
I love Romeo and Juliet. I would call my old man Romeo.
Why, because he's so romantic?
No. Because when he takes me to a theater, he always buys seats in the balcony.
I prefer Hamlet myself.
You like Hamlet?
Yes, to be or not to be, that is the question.
No, you're wrong, Mr. McNaught. That is not the question.
No?
The question is, what part does Romeo and Juliet play in the opera Carmen?
No.
I listen.
Oh, yeah, you listen, yeah. Look, the question is, what is the name of the principal character in the opera Carmen?
No, Mr. McNaughton said to be or not to be was the question.
To be or not to be, what?
Look a minute, please.
I didn't say to be or not to be was the question.
Well, who said it? Somebody said it.
Hamlet said it. It was Hamlet's question.
Well, send him $5 and let's get on with the program.
Right. The question has nothing to do with Hamlet. It's about the opera Carmen. Hamlet is Shakespeare.
Hamlet is Shakespeare? When did he change his name?
When he got married.
Hamlet didn't get married.
He did it. Well, then why does he hang around Juliet's balcony all the time?
Hey.
You know, this Howard, I played in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, really, Mr. Carlo? Did you have a nice balcony?
Well, if she didn't, she's got one now.
Well,
it back. There is no question about Juliet's balcony. The question is about the opera Carmen.
That's a musical question, ain't it?
I'm glad you're paying attention. That's right.
Yeah, you know, I'm taking up music as a career.
You are?
I'm forging ahead.
You're forging ahead.
Yeah.
If you get time, forge one for yourself, will you, Mr. The question is still about opera.
You know, I went to the opera last week, but I left after the first act.
Oh, really? Why? Didn't you like it?
Oh, I loved it. But set in the program. Second act the same as act one. Why waste time?
Yeah, why?
It's so monotonous.
Yes, yes.
No, I'm taking a lady to the theater tomorrow night. We're going to sit in the balcony. Yes, all by ourselves.
Yeah, you're going to sit in the balcony? Or you mean you bought the entire balcony?
Precisely, Mr. Howe. The sign outside said, entire balcony, $1.10. So I bought it.
That's very cheap. Yes, you did.
Sadie Wright and me went to see a show last week, but we couldn't get seats. It was so crowded.
Well, couldn't you get standing room?
Yeah, but not together.
Not together. All right, please. There must be an easier way to make a living here. Please.
Well, we're going to the theater 2 weeks from next Wednesday to see the second act of a play.
What was the matter with the first act?
Oh, we saw that last Wednesday.
Yep.
So we got to go back 2 weeks from next Wednesday and see the second act.
Say, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Well, it said on the program, second act, 3 weeks later.
3 weeks later. Mr. Elliott, before we're here for the next 3 weeks, suppose we pay our friend for his question. Give him $15 for his question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard. Here you are, Corporal Gene Glick. $15 and the best of luck to you, sir.
The principal character in the opera Carmen is, of course, Carmen.
Finish out.
Anything can happen in the
pushover for Gilbert and Sullivan.
The other Sullivan.
Which one, Gilbert or Sullivan?
Which one is he, Gilbert or Sullivan? I think his name is Sam.
Yeah, that must be 6 o'clock or something now.
Say, Mr. Howard, is that music from Carmen?
That music's from Hunger, Mr. Sheldon.
Hunger. Is that a very good show, Mr. Howard?
Oh, forget it, please. Who is our next contestant, Mr. Elliott?
Mr. Howard, this is Yeoman Second Class Vivian Wayland of the Wave. Oh.
How do you do, Miss Wayland, and welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant. Would you mind just telling us just the least little bit about yourself? Where would your home be, would you care to tell us?
In Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Hey, you know, that's remarkable, Miss Whalen. I used to go with a young lady in that town. In fact, I almost married her. Yes. Extraordinary, though. Her father was a millionaire.
Oh, I see.
She was an heiress.
Yeah,
how'd you make out?
Very badly. It was like losing a ball game. No runs, no hits, no heiress.
How would you look in what, Miss Connell?
In a uniform like that.
A Sherman tank, you would look like.
Why is it, Mr. Howard, you're always making cracks about my figure? I'll have you know, before I married my old man, I said no to 10 different men.
Yeah? What were they selling?
You know, Mr. Howard, I like girls in uniform.
Yeah?
Mr. McNaughton, what do you like in girls' clothing?
Girls.
Would you care to tell us, Miss Salem, what you did before you entered the service?
I was going to college.
Oh, you went to college. I see. What college would you care?
Carroll College.
What college?
Carroll College.
Carroll College.
Carroll College.
I went to college, too.
Oh, you went there. I imagine.
Yeah, I took up trigonometry.
Trigonometry.
Yeah, I always wanted to learn how to shoot a gun.
I see. You know, speaking of colleges, I spent the best years of my life, you know, up at Vassar. Vassar is a girls' college.
You're telling me.
Please. Well, thank you for being so nice about everything. Would you kindly pick a question from the dunce cap for us? And would you care to read the question, please?
Was Helen of Troy a man or a woman?
Was Helen of Troy a man or a woman?
Oh, they're getting harder all the time.
Yes. Well, don't be surprised if she turns out to be a football player after these morons get through kicking the question around.
Mr. Hart, what was the question again?
Mr. McNaughton, must I keep on repeating myself?
Oh, no, I don't want you to repeat yourself, Mr. Hart. Just repeat the question.
I see. Was Helen of Troy a man or a woman?
What was her first name?
Please. Haven't you ever heard of Helen of Troy, Mr. Sheldon?
No, but I've heard of Benny of Rochester.
Oh, yeah, Benny of Rochester.
Yeah, then it was Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
I knew her brother, Northark.
Yeah, okay. Let me set you straight here. Helen of Troy was a myth.
Yeah, she was a what?
A myth. A myth.
Mr. Howard, are your teeth slipping?
Helen of Troy was a myth. Something that don't... Can't see...
Make up your mind, sir.
Look, I said she lived in fiction.
Well, where is fiction?
Look, when I wasn't, she was. Imagination.
Oh, she moved. She didn't like fiction.
My word, skinny, wasn't she?
Yes. Everything is imagination. A person thinks they have a toothache, that's imagination. You wake up in the morning with a headache, imagination. You say you can't sleep at night, imagination.
Imagination, Mr.
Howard, imagination. Mr. Elliott, give our charming guest here $15 for a question, and may I add, that's not imagination.
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard, it's a pleasure. $15 with our best wishes. Vivian Whalen of the Wave.
Thank you a lot. And thank you a lot for helping us out. Helen of Troy was a woman.
Walk up this way, folks.
That's marvelous. Well, here's that crackpot question, folks, sent in by Mrs. Lester of New London, Connecticut. You are to tell us the name of this man. He was born in 1564, died in 1660. He was an English dramatist and poet, and was known as the Bard of Avon. Among his famous plays are The Merchants of Venice, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, and many others. His father's name was Shakespeare. His first name was William. Can you tell me the name?
William Tell.
That is for her friend, Mrs. Lester, $8.19 for the question, because it pays to be ignorant.
It Pays to Be Ignorant was created by Tom Howard and directed by Roger Bauer. It will be heard again next Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime.
This is Tom Howard again saying good night for Harry McDonald, Lula McConnell, George Shelton. Good night and good night.
This is Mutual.